enshrined in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever it is that you're listening to Spouting Off. If you're listening to Spouting Off live, sorry, it's so complicated these days, but computers has made it possible to transfer shows all over the place. If you're listening live at 1 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday, you can call in, especially in this first segment, 603-816-1590. Well, there is some good news, and I love reporting and discussing good news because sometimes it feels like it's hard to find. Well, I've been saving up a bunch of good news stories. I didn't have the chance on Tuesday because we had a guest in the very first segment. So I'm jazzed to cover a fair amount of territory of things to feel good about. Now, here's a headline for you. We won't go into huge detail because if you listen to me at any at all, often, I got to say that backwards because that's forwards. New York City police want shoppers to remove their masks before entering stores. Okay, so what happened to the masks? We're going to die. We're going to die without putting a rag on our face. Everybody knows that that was a lie, except people that you see in your grocery store who are still running around terrified from 3 years ago when we were told, put a rag on your face. Do so, or we'll kick you out of a store. And then we find out, well, we knew all along masks don't work. Of course, you know that I think masks work fabulously well. So you see, I might be giving you a contradiction in terms. Masks work great if your goal is to subjugate the public, force them to obey the state, force private businesses to force you to obey the state, to subjugate the public, and to get them to obey no matter what. We were told you're going to kill grandma if you don't wear a mask. And then we found out the people that were threatening us killed a whole lot of grandmas, sadly, horrifically, and they still haven't been held accountable. You know whereof I speak. So now New York City police, because police have been defunded and giant cities are suffering with the virus of runaway, out of control crime, are going to return to at least a feeble attempt at law and order when it was actually a crime to walk into a bank, for example, with a rag on your face because they knew, you know, give me all your money. Remember the Westerns of the 40s and 50s? They always wore the bandits, the criminals, they always wore masks on their face because, you know, they didn't have to worry about cameras back then. So now the police want shoppers to remove their masks. They're not talking about how stupid they are in the first place. They just want them to remove their masks so they can at least get a handle on the runaway crime. Okay, so that's good news because, once again, the left eats itself. Now, here's one I'm going to spend a little bit more time on. Tennessee governor, and I think I've talked about this a little, just signed a ban on transgender medical care for minors and on drag shows for kids. There are these kinds of both executive orders and legislation going through states all over the country, states that are not yet controlled and manipulated by radical left deep staters, and radical left doesn't even mean left anymore. It just means, well, it means people who are for pornography for kids. Okay. Kentucky House of Representatives passed a bill that would prohibit healthcare professionals from using medical interventions, ba-dum-ba-dum, like puberty blockers or sex change operations on minors who identify as who cares, transgender or whatever. If a kid identified as being able to fly because he loved Superman, would you take him to a tall building and push him off? You know, this is mass psychosis, and it doesn't have to do with being anti-trans, I've said way too many times. But let's look at what the radical left says about these bans in order to protect children. Once upon a time, we all believed that pornography for kids and allowing Deep Throat to be seen in public schools, and I show my age years and years ago, The Devil and Miss Jones, you know, out and out hardcore pornography, we just didn't think it was a good idea to put in the public schools. And now the radical left is defending that as if they are the victims and you are this radical book-burning extremist who hates trans people. Well, typical of the radical left and the lies and deception that they engage in every day, we have a professional dragster, drag queen, RuPaul. Now, let me tell you, I got nothing against him personally. I do, unlike one of my previous guests, believe in live and let live. I do believe in live and let live for adults forever. As long as we can remember, we had laws against children being allowed in casinos, in bars, in saloons, in sex shows. You know, you want to do that, make sure that you are at the age of consent so that you can take responsibility for your actions. If you engage in crimes when you're under the influence or whatever, then that's a different story. But nowadays, as you know, we have a radical left that, for reasons we believe we know, has crossed the Rubicon and now is for pornography for children. They are for mastectomies for nine-year-olds, et cetera, et cetera. One of the best-known drag queens, here's the headline on the HuffPo radical leftist website, RuPaul slams, quote, stunt queen lawmakers for legislating banning drag shows. One of the best known drag queens, RuPaul, is calling out politicians for what he says is a stunt. He said it on his Instagram, saying that it is, they're stunt queens, because of course, to RuPaul, I guess everybody are queens. And he calls them bullies, and they're incompetent because they can't solve real issues. So I guess mastectomies for nine-year-olds is A-OK for RuPaul. And this is the kicker. Let me finish this. RuPaul post comes on the heels of Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signing a bill into law Thursday that would criminalize some drag performances. Do you hear that? Some drag performances. But at the very bottom of the article, it says, which take place April 1st, bans adult cabaret entertainment on public property or at locations in the state where they can be viewed by minors, namely Drag Queen Story Hour and other outrageous direct targeting of children to be exposed to drag queen drag shows and other pornography. To say that drag queens are not sexual at all and they're not hurting anybody, and then RuPaul tries to virtue signal by telling us that why don't these terrible governors focus on taking away guns, right? Because we're going to ban your right to defend yourself. But we're going to cover up the fact that these laws that are going into place April 1st specifically are targeted to protect the innocence of children who cannot give their consent. We have seen again and again that these radical activists target children and tell the children in public schools that they should not tell their parents that they've been gender confused on purpose. Remember, not long ago, when we heard the confusing story of teachers telling seven-year-olds, five-year-olds, that there's no such thing as boy or girl. There's no such thing as boy or girl. So a person in position of authority is now intentionally confusing children as to what gender they are so they can have more gender dysphoria and they can have more gender-changing surgeries. I'm not going to go down the ugly path that we all know as to why they would like to confuse children as to what sex, what gender they are. This is malicious. It is child abuse. And you don't have to be anti-trans, anti-gay, or anything else to see it and to speak up, to speak out about it. So RuPaul is telling everybody that these lawmakers are anti-trans and anti-drag people, but he makes sure not to mention, leaves out conveniently, it screams volumes, that this is for kids. Why? Because RuPaul was among the people cheering and celebrating and delighted by the 11-year-old drag queen that I wrote about. I think he's now about 16 or 17, and he was all the rage, all the rage. I took an enormous amount of heat for writing an article that did get published, can't remember which publication, about an 11-year-old drag queen who is being paraded around in a gay bar, and adult gay men are putting little dollars into his underwear. Now, I guess RuPaul can try to tell us that there's nothing sexual about that, but he'd be lying. He's been cheering child drag queens. Remember, and you may know that I have a little bit of personal passion about this, remember when sexualizing children, little girls, was looked down upon horrifically as something that was outrageous. Remember JonBenet Ramsey? My, how we've moved forward. You can't talk about the sexualization of little boys when they are parading around in drag. That's okay. Anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got a great guest. Don't go away. You're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the WASPs. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm going to jump right in here without any kind of promo or programming notes, because in the times we're living in, sadly but not sadly, we depend on people of character, people of integrity, people with guts and moral clarity to be the whistleblowers, to stand up and let us know how we are being gaslighted. This next guest is one of those people. He is an opinion writer, author, former state and federal law enforcement officer with more than a decade of experience. He has a huge career in law enforcement, and he became an FBI whistleblower in 2022 after making protected disclosures to Congress about the FBI's questionable and manipulative investigations of January 6th protesters. He's author of the book, True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to FBI Whistleblower. Steve Friend joins us right now. It is an honor to have you, Mr. Friend, and we hope you're the friend of all of us, because we need him more than ever. Sorry for that.
Oh, absolutely, Karen. I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, gosh. Boy, we are so grateful, because a lot of us out here just feel absolutely helpless. We cannot afford to feel helpless. Tell us, let's just jump right to the chase. What do we need to know that we have not been told about the FBI and why you decided to be a whistleblower?
Well, I was with the Bureau starting in 2014, and for the first 7 years worked violent crimes occurring on Indian reservations. And that's relevant to the story because it gave me a lot of opportunities to work a huge volume of cases and become very familiar with the rules that the FBI uses to bring its cases forward. And also, kind of cut my teeth on start to finish. I brought a lot of cases to trial and saw the pitfalls that could trip you up in bringing a righteous prosecution. So flash forward to last year when I was reassigned and told not to actually investigate child pornography cases anymore, but to focus on January 6th. I right away saw that the FBI is departing from the rules for managing cases. And just cutting to the end of it, it's essentially taken one case from January 6th and made it separate case for every single person, so made one case in thousands, and spread them around the country and creating this false illusion that domestic terrorism is on the rise nationwide, when in fact the numbers to justify that are all derivative from January 6th. And the final punchline is that is directly tied to compensation for the higher executives within the FBI. They actually make money off of it.
How do they make money off of it?
Well, there's 56 field offices around the continental U.S., and the senior executive service member, so the big boss of each one of those offices, they are no longer on the government, the GS pay scale. It's essentially a negotiation, and their compensation is heavily based on bonuses, which are derived from achieving metrics, which the FBI essentially sets for itself to achieve every year. So think of it as a ticket quota for a local patrolman has to write at the end of the month. And they set these metrics for all manner of training and cases opened and arrests achieved. But unfortunately for them, domestic terrorism, the demand for that in this political driven country vastly outstrips the supply. So they're always up against it to meet the numbers for domestic terrorism. So when January 6th came around, that was a boondoggle for a lot of senior executives. They were able to hit those numbers now going on through over 2 years.
So what you're describing is something I've been ranting about in the medical field, you know, among many other places. If you have enough of a financial incentive, you get the behavior that you want. We've said economically always that what you subsidize, you get more of, and what you tax, you get less of. Here you've got bribery of FBI agents to become politicized and to go after the enemies of the administration. What I want to know, among so many other things, is Steve, we're talking to Steve Friend, author of True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to FBI Whistleblower, is why are there so few people like you? Or are there?
There are definitely a lot of people that are still in place, and fortunately, I've been able to cultivate relationships with them. And they've actually shared information with me and my my other fellow suspended FBI whistleblowers that we now affectionately refer to ourselves as the Suspendables. And we've been able to bring out more information to the public. But I think that the FBI has weaponized the security clearance revocation process to skirt whistleblower protection laws. And has essentially targeted us, you know. And what it all comes down to is, I made a appropriate and legal whistleblower disclosure. I had a reasonable belief. You have to have a reasonable belief of fraud, waste, abuse, or an unnecessary risk to public safety. I brought those forward. The best thing that the FBI could have done was investigate the veracity of my complaint. If it was true, they should have corrected it, and I would have gone back to work. And if it was false, they could have said, "Steve, it's false, and here's why." And I would have gone back to work. But instead,
what did they do instead? What did they do instead?
So instead, they they revoked my or suspended my security clearance, and started a process where it ultimately will determine if they're going to revoke your security clearance. And the process takes years and years and years. But during that time, you're left in an unpaid status, and you're still technically an employee of the Bureau. So you need their permission to actually work any outside jobs, which I requested and was denied. So it's essentially they try to bleed you out financially because the FBI is no shortage of time and money. And in my case, they found the thinnest possible way to suspend my security clearance. They said that I improperly accessed the employee handbook.
Was this information in the employee handbook the information that you were coming forward to blow the whistle on?
No, the information that I was concerned about was from the Domestic Investigation Operations Guide, the DIOG, the DIOG, Appendix J, and I expressed concerns about that, as well as the risk that I felt we were posing to the public safety by using large operations to arrest folks who had already pledged to be cooperative. I saw sort of the writing on the wall, and I got legal counsel. My lawyer said, "Steve, I don't know a lot about defending FBI people. Can you get me a copy of the handbook?" So I went and got that for him, and the FBI said, "I did so."
Which is public. Is it not? Is it public or is it private? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
It is an unclassified document.
Okay. What I want to talk about. Yeah. What I want to talk about is the courage and integrity that it takes to withstand bullying and intimidation when you know you're in the right, morally you're standing up, and the price is very high. I think you are continuing to pay a high price, But I don't know if you'd agree with this. Every single one of us in America is starting to get bullied by the government. Military, police, and everyone were pretty much told that you better take this experimental shot or you're going to pay. You're going to suffer. We're going to take your job away. We're going to shut you down. The kind of bullying and intimidation tactics we've never seen in America seem to be growing at a staggering rate. So before we go any further, I would love for you to, because I want to get this in. Sometimes we get so short on time, we don't get to the question that I want to get to, is what do you say to the numerous people, everyday people, you know, just want to live their lives. And now they're being this kind of bullying and intimidation by a politicized entity that's telling you, you better shut up or you better speak up or whatever we want you to do, or we're going to make you pay. It's not the American way, is it? What would you
tell? No, it's not. You know, I have a few things come to mind. My favorite quote is John Quincy Adams said, duty is ours, results are God's. And I have a son who's in grammar school who tends to be a little bit of a worrier. And I just told him one day when he was on one of his worry sessions, I said, hey, buddy, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? And I think he came up with like zombies attacking. And I said, well, what happens next? And he looked at me and he said, I guess I wake up in heaven. And I said, so it's a happy story. So I think that perspective and really digging and knowing you know, where what we're doing here is for a higher power is what drives me and should drive you know my fellow citizens. And I think that you also have to realize there's more of us than there are of them. And the biggest, baddest bully on the block is not used to being confronted, as has been the case with me. The FBI has continually just stepped all over itself in its behavior since my coming forward, because they're not used to playing defense. They're always just used to pushing out and then hoping people will just go quietly into the good night. Unfortunately, in my case, that's not why I came forward. I signed up to be an FBI agent, and before that, I signed up to be a police officer because I wanted to confront bullies. And if the FBI becomes a bully, then it's incumbent on me to push back on them. I didn't sign up to be an FBI agent to retire as one. I signed up to do the job, and I felt that this was my job. And I think that if you're an American citizen, that doesn't just come with benefits; it comes with responsibilities. It's incumbent on us all to you know, stand up to anybody who's bullying us, including the very government that is ruling over us.
God, thank you for coming on our show. We still have 5 or 6 minutes. I want you to decide what is the absolute biggest, most important thing for us to know that's in your heart and in your head that you want us to know, because I could talk to you for an hour, and I wish I had more time. So we've got about 5 minutes or less. Tell us what you think is the most important thing for us to know, because we are in extraordinarily frightening times, American citizens. They're taking away all the stopgaps we had or have for our liberty, for our lives, for integrity, for accountability. You tell us what we need to know.
Two things that I think are important for takeaways. One is that the doctrine of the lesser magistrate as an action step for folks is vitally important. The sheriff of your county is directly accountable to you. It is somebody who you can have an audience with, and the FBI is incapable of policing this nation without the assistance of local law enforcement. They staff up the resident agencies, they bring the cases forward. And if you have a sheriff who's with assault and accountable to his voters, he could essentially say, we're not going to cooperate. We're not going to play ball anymore. So making your voice heard in that way is vitally important, and I think it'd have a significant impact. And the other thing is for anybody working in law enforcement, at the end of the day, it's all about preserving law and order. And the reason that I came forward, I didn't plan to write a book. I didn't plan to go on the radio or TV. I was concerned that the FBI is contributing to shutting the Overton window off to half the country and creating this illusion that half the country are potential terrorists. Because you'll engage with the First Amendment conversation with anybody, and you can agree or disagree or compromise, but you'll never have that conversation if you think that that person is going to blow you up with a suicide vest. So to my appeal to my fellow civil servants in federal, state, local law enforcement, you have to be part of the solution here. It's we have to lower the temperature, and just putting your head down in the hope that you don't disrupt your pension is not an acceptable. You swore an oath to protect and defend your fellow citizens and the Constitution, and that oath is not the same as clicking agree on an iPhone user agreement. It is a oath that you swear before your God and your family and your friends, and then you have to uphold it.
Oh, I'm so glad I get to do this when I get to talk to people like you. And I'm gushing only because principle, standing on your oath. You made two references I want to just repeat. It's called the Covington window. Forgive me.
Overton window.
Overton. That's what I thought. That's Glenn Beck. So everybody, if you want to learn more of these very high-minded, very important, our listeners are very bright. They probably already know. The Overton window, the other one you made, which we have talked about on this program, the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. Look that one up, because if you go back to almost any tyrannical situations, there were brown shirts and others who were, you know, quote, I was just following orders. But if law enforcement are paying attention to their oath of office, it's not to authority, it's to the Constitution and doing what's right. Tell everybody how they can find your book and follow you.
Well, thank you. My book right now is just on pre-sale on Amazon. It's going to be published in July, July 18th, True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to FBI Whistleblower. And I have taken the plunge and joined social media, which I resisted until this whole moment in life. And I'm on Twitter at Real Steve Friend, and I am on Truth Social at Real_Steve Friend, because I like to make people work a little bit harder, I guess, than necessary.
I wish I had time to ask you if you've had a lot of pushback and hostility going on, but the best thing you can do is be public, and we are so glad that you're out there. I hope to have the honor of speaking to you again. Steve Friend, author of, got to say it one more time because I got the time, True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to FBI Whistleblower. It'll be out in July, so order it now. It couldn't be more relevant to everything that's going on. Thank you, Steve, and Godspeed, and best wishes to you.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too. Thanks. We'll be right back with our reporter of the week from the Epoch Times. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com, and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference in all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Outdoor Almanac, brought to you by New Hampshire Fish and Game's Wildlife Journal.
Last summer, I was in a boat on First Connecticut Lake in Pittsburgh, cruising the shoreline when I saw a small red fox on shore. It saw me and immediately laid down and watched me. As I moved away, it then sat up like a dog. Through binoculars, I could then see it sniff the ground and amble away. Foxes. Branded by Aesop's Fables and Little Red Riding Hood is bold, cunning, and deceitful, when in fact they're shy, nervous, and very intelligent. They belong to the same family as domestic dogs, coyotes, and gray wolves. While red foxes eat small mammals and plants, they've also been known to eat lake trout, which they catch by leaping from shore onto fish schooling in shallow water. Maybe that's what my fox was trying to do, because they hunt mostly towards sunset, overnight, and in the early morning. So while the swift brown fox may have jumped over the lazy dog, it's a shame the fox couldn't escape the fiction of its storybook past.
Outdoor Almanac is brought to you by New Hampshire Fish and Game's Wildlife Journal, the magazine for people with outside interests.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police in the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today, when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at KarenCataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We're wrapping up this edition of Spouting Off. There will be another one tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, so tune in for that. On Thursday afternoon's last segment, I'm delighted that we get to have a reporter from the Epoch Times, and you know that they are one of our sponsors. We are proud to support them, and they supply us with a reporter who usually is utterly stellar. And this one is definitely no exception of that. And he's got lots of articles to cover, and I've got a couple questions for him. He is Matthew Vadim, an award-winning investigative journalist and a recognized expert in left-wing activism. Welcome, Matt Vadim, to our program. Good to have you once again.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good. Boy, you are just busy, 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 aren't you? Tell you, there's no shortage of things to report on. And I had a choice, so I'm going to ask you first about this one of your headlines in the Epoch Times. Supreme Court sides with offended atheists in lawsuit against Florida City over prayer vigil. Explain that one to us, and we'll go from there.
There's been a lot of interest in that story. It comes out of the city of Ocala, Florida. And it has to do, there was a community tragedy. Somebody was shot, and city leaders organized a prayer vigil so people could get together and try and I guess, you know, promote community healing and cohesion. And,
oh, we can't have that.
No, we can't have that, I guess. And
no.
Some atheists associated with the American Humanist Institute attended, and then their feelings were hurt because they couldn't participate because it was all, they said it was all prayer, and they bothered that this was sponsored by a government, and so they sued. And Ocala what happened is Ocala, you know, was not happy about this and appealed when it lost in court, and asked the Supreme Court to put an end to the lawsuit against them, and the Supreme Court refused, voting to not stop the case, and which turned on something called offended observer or offended atheist status, and that
such
is
a
the
thing
ability
as offended
of someone who's
there's
right.
such a thing as offended atheist status.
They don't officially call it that, but that's what it was. This is offended observer theory of standing, which is that you have legal standing to file a case, you know, a lawsuit again under the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment if you're offended by something. And it is not widely recognized in the courts. And so Ocala, Florida, wanted to stop the lawsuit and asked the Supreme Court to do so, and the Supreme Court refused to do so. And the only one who objected, who filed a formal dissent, was Justice Clarence Thomas, who thought that they had a worthwhile argument to make, and that you know, standing based on mere offense was problematic in terms of the Constitution, and he thought that the whole issue matter should be aired in open court in an oral argument. But he was the only justice who felt that way.
Really, Neil Gorsuch, the only one.
Only
not
one,
even Alito or any of the others.
No. Justice Neil Gorsuch filed a sympathetic statement to the city, saying that the courts never endorsed the notion that an offended observer may bring an Establishment Clause claim, but because the case was still pending in the lower courts, there's no reason for the Supreme Court to get involved at this time. And he said that the city could still bring the matter back before the Supreme Court later if it needed to. So,
wow.
Basically, the court refused to take up the issue of whether offended observer status was enough to file an Establishment Clause lawsuit, and left in place a lower court ruling allowing the lawsuit to continue. And so it's ongoing, and we don't know if it'll come back before the court. But this was an opportunity for the Supreme Court to strike another blow for religious freedom. And it declined to do so.
Well, not only religious freedom, but the rest of the First Amendment, which is freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and all the rest. I guess that means, unless I'm wrong, that all you have to do is you say offended, that you're offended at something, and you can shut people up, shut people down, get them to stop exercising their rights. Am I wrong about that?
Well, it seems, you know, the decision seems counterintuitive, especially after the Supreme Court last summer sided with Coach Joe Kennedy in Washington State in Bremerton School District, Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, finding that it was okay. It was not a violation of the Establishment Clause for this high school football coach, Joseph Kennedy, to have prayers at the 50-yard line after games. And, you know, they stated pretty clearly that was fine. So, you know, if that's okay, I don't see why a prayer vigil wouldn't be okay. But, you know, judges look all the time, courts all the time look for excuses not to make a ruling, and they found good enough reasons not to go forward with the case, to leave it alone. So it is hard to understand why they would turn it down, but they did.
Well, and this is the kind of thing that we appreciate so much, is that you're reporting on this and shedding some light on what exactly happened. To the untrained observer, doesn't it seem like, or I'm wrong, because I'm not sure I understand the Establishment Clause, maybe you could make that a little more clear, why don't Republicans use that to say that they're an untrained, that they're an observer to pornography in schools. They're an observer to children being maimed by surgeries. They're an observer to drag queen story hours. And I don't just mean to single out those particular social issues, but they are really such over-the-top examples. Is that something that people could do?
Well, this offended observer status has not been terribly successful legally. And so, you know, in replicating a strategy that's a failure, you know, it's not a good idea.
right.
I don't think, but
except,
you know,
that they won this time, or at least the other side won the right to not have the case heard and overturned. Right.
Right. The other side left, you know, it's meant that the case meant that the offended observer status is, it's kind of left in limbo for the time being. And but I get the feeling the Supreme Court is going to come back to this issue, because it's going to come up again, you know, sooner than anyone thinks. These things have a way of coming up in time for the Supreme Court to deal with them. So I wouldn't worry about it. I think it's going to come back.
Well, let's hope it comes back before they pack the Supreme Court, which they keep threatening to do.
They keep threatening to do it. I think they're not going to do it for the time being, but, you know, they may want to do it again after the next election.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. One last comment on this one, and then we can move on to another one, is it reminds me of the way they kicked the can down the road with the Jack Phillips case, which I did watch very carefully, the Masterpiece Cake Shop. Instead of making it quite clear that a person doesn't have to be compelled to make a creative entity, be it a cake or a sing a song that offends their religious sensibilities, the Supreme Court really punted on that for all intents and purposes. Did you report on that? And now it's headed back. Another aspect, another case, he's being harassed again, and that one will probably go to the Supreme Court too, because they didn't straighten it out.
Jack Phillips' case where, yeah, they didn't give a ruling that was definitive enough for some people's liking, and that left open certain questions to be revisited in the future. And now, I guess his state is Oregon, is going after him, or is it Colorado? Sorry, is going after
it's
him.
Colorado. That one Colorado. Is Colorado. Yeah,
I get the two confused because they're both so wacky. Anyway,
sad Colorado, but true. It's my former home. That's my home state. And yes, it breaks my heart what has happened, because they shopped that baker. They knew he was an observant Christian. They knew it.
Because he didn't want to bake a trans cake, a gender transition cake, he's been sued for that now, too.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And that phone call, it was only a phone call. The lawyer, trans lawyer person, called him on the phone the very day that the case came out, the decision came out, when people were celebrating. He called him on the phone. Jack refused. And then we were off to the races again, where every leftist court in Colorado sided against him. And, you know, here we go again. And let's hope that it is decided fairly. You would think that the First Amendment would protect people, even if they have an unpopular view, but not today. Here's another Supreme Court issue that you wrote about: to hear an appeal after insurer refused to cut. Wait a minute, that's not it. That's not the one. Reverses death sentence of six in Arizona. You tell me, like, do you Do you feel good about the current constellation of the Supreme Court, or are you worried that they may not keep to the Constitution, even with a supposed conservative majority, which they don't always have?
I always worry about that, but the case that you're referring to, I'm not sure if that's a big problem. You're referring to the case this week where the Supreme Court set aside the conviction of six convicted murderers because they weren't allowed to point out to the jury that if they received a sentence of life imprisonment, it would be without the possibility of parole. And that has been illegal for juries to be restrained from doing that for many years, according to the U.S. Supreme Court. And Arizona had been ignoring that precedent for a long time. And somebody took Arizona to court a few years ago and got a declaration from the U.S. Supreme Court saying Arizona's in the wrong. They have to honor this. And then Arizona kept on doing it. So this one guy named John Montenegro Cruz brought it before the Supreme Court, and it sided with him and said, "Yeah, you're right, and we're going to reverse your death sentence." But they didn't release him from prison. They just said that he has to be resentenced again, so he could still get the death penalty. It's just that the murder conviction is not erased; the sentence is erased, because it wasn't done properly. But it is a confusing ruling, and it was only 5-4, four of the justices dissenting were conservatives. Two, Justice Brett Kavanaugh and Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the majority there, saying that this was a technical, violation of the Supreme Court's previous, precedent on this in Arizona. And order the resentencing, and then six other pending cases. What the Supreme Court does is, when there are other cases that are,
we got to wrap it up. I'm sorry, and I want to give everybody a chance.
Similar cases,
to
they said
you.
These six death sentences will also be set aside, and they have to be resentenced. So that's what happened.
Gotcha. This is why we need honest reporters like you. Because you report the facts, and that's what we talk about on the Epoch Times. Real quick, what are you working on at the Epoch Times, Matthew Vadim, right now?
Working on more about the independent state legislature doctrine. It says that in the U.S. Constitution that state legislatures get to make the rules for the federal elections that take place within their borders.
Oh,
so that's
wow.
a big case.
That sounds huge, very relevant. Matthew Vadim, last name spelled V-A-D-U-M. Find him at the Epoch Times. Thank you. We love having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, that does it for this edition. We'll have one more edition of Spouting Off tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. Tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. When there will be so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.
WSMN 1590, WSMN 95.3 FM Nashua. Listen, watch, and stream at WSMN.live.
USA News, I'm Richard Johnson. Forget the snow, it's the rain that is the next big concern for people in California as another atmospheric river is moving across the Golden State. Meteorologist John Weatherby in Sacramento says this system is much warmer than the snowpack storms of the past 2 weeks.
For the next several days, a warm front will slide through and push that snow level higher and higher and create more flooding or more snow melt at lower elevations. That's where that flooding concern becomes so important for us.
To the south, they found at least a dozen people dead in their snowbound homes in the San Bernardino Mountains. Volunteers going door to door fear they will find more victims. One Republican budget expert says President Biden's budget plan is just an incoherent collection of wishes that don't add up. Massachusetts Senator Democrat Elizabeth Warren is already unloading on the GOP budget.
If you go through with the Republican plan, it throws the country into a recession, and it will cost us about 2.5 million jobs.
President Biden will officially unveil his plan this afternoon in Philadelphia. It's not just Mexicans or people from Central and South America who are trying to get into the USA via the southern border.
In FY22, CBP encountered 36,271 illegal aliens from Russia, which is startling.
Texas Congressman Pat Fallon, the website Border Report, says many Russians are well-to-do and wait for asylum appointments at rented apartments or Airbnbs in Mexico. Norfolk Southern Chief Executive Officer Alan Shaw says his company will do right by the people around East Palestine, Ohio, and says he's deeply sorry for the freight train derailment. As Shaw was appearing before a Senate committee today, word came of another Norfolk Southern derailment. None of the cars that came off the tracks in eastern Alabama have leaked. This is USA News.
Non-attorney spokesperson, ad sponsored by OpenJar Concepts. Attention veterans and active duty military. If you were issued earplugs between 2002 and 2016 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-958-2145 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-958-2145 now. Again, 800-958-2145. That's 800-958-2145.
A lot of smart TVs for sale include streaming devices like Amazon's Fire Stick and Roku. Well, now Roku's turning the tables and will begin selling its own brand of TVs. They'll include the Roku voice remote control, Bluetooth private listening, but the Roku TVs will be sold only at Best Buy stores and through Best Buy's website. The cost of ingredients is down, but our grocery bills are still pretty high. Food makers say it's because of rising labor and transportation costs, but industry critics say the pandemic gave food makers cover to raise prices above and beyond just recovering those costs. One track shows that between January of last year to January of this year, groceries increased by more than 11%. And one of the big culprits of the last few months has been the price of eggs. That's led a lot of people to buy chicks. They buy them from farm supply stores like the one that Amy Scudder runs near Colorado Springs.
A lot of area farmers out here have been, you know, starting to sell eggs and help out a little bit. That kind of got me an idea of maybe hatching a little bit more this year and seeing how well it goes.
Gutter says they expect to hatch about 100 chicks this weekend.
I'm hoping I'll be able to sell them all and help people out. You know, I've been seeing how to help build coops and all kinds of things. So they're asking all kinds of questions right now.
Gutter says people are turning to social media to see if people have any chicks for sale. I'm Rich Johnson, USA News.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
Hi, everyone. Mark Rosenthal with you on this Thursday afternoon. Here's what's happening for southern New Hampshire. Variable clouds, breezy, maybe a brief rain or snow shower. Temps about 43. Clearing cold overnight, the 20s. Tomorrow, lots of sun, few clouds, low and mid-40s. We miss a storm off to our south on Saturday. Just variable clouds, breezy, near 40. Better weather on Sunday, although it could be turning stormy before next week is over. For WSMN, AM 1590 and WSMN 95.3 FM Nashua, I'm Mark Rosenthal.
The views and opinions of the following show do not reflect those of WSMN, its owners, and or associates.
The Dana Show.
I would probably trust more in the quote-unquote science of people who would wear a headdress chandelier of crystals with oils everywhere than I would with the people with the mask on their face.
It is insane to think that you're somehow barred from accepting two things simultaneously, that riots are not forms of protest, and also that the media lied, and that this was all done to massage a narrative.
The Dana Show.
I'm fighting.
the Twitter files.
Again, Congresswoman, that would...
I just need a date, sir.
But I can't give it to you, unfortunately, because this is a question of sourcing, and I don't give up. I'm a journalist. I don't reveal my sources.
It's a question of chronology.
No, that's a question
of sourcing. Because you earlier said that someone had sent you through the internet some message about whether or not you would be interested in some information.
Yes, and I refer to that person as a source.
So you're not going to tell us when Musk first approached you?